Our scripture this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And from the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of the meeting, on the first day of the second month, and in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Take a census of the whole congregation of Israelites, in their clans, by ancestral houses, according to the number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and upwards, everyone in Israel able to go to war. You and Aaron shall enroll them company by company. A man from each tribe shall be with you, each man the head of his ancestral house." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Our Bible, a library of books to teach us to live with God, loving us. Today, are you ready to look at the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Bible? It's not the book, it's the library. Today, check out the image on the screen. We're looking at just a few books in the Old Testament. The first five books are called the Law. There's another set of books called the Poetry, another set of books called History, another set of books called Major Prophets, another set of books called the Minor Prophets. Five sections. In the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through the whole Old Testament. Are you ready? Hang on. We're in for a ride. You can tell I'm already energized and talking fast. I want to slow down a little bit, but we are looking at today the first part of the library, the first five books, the Law, the Torah, it is called, the Hebrew word. The Pentateuch is a Greek word that explains the first five books of the Bible. You might want to open your Bible if you have one nearby. You find the first part, which is the table of contents. Always a good place to start when you're looking at the Bible. First five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There are five sections because you may know that the Old Testament is actually the Hebrew Bible, the Bible for the Jewish faith. And the Hebrew Bible has scrolls, and scrolls have limited space, and they are one solid piece of paper. Has anyone been up to the Museum of History and Science for the Dead Sea Scrolls display? An amazing collection of scrolls that have enhanced our ability to understand what the scriptures are about. The Torah, or the Law section, it's the core of the teaching of the earliest patriarchs and the matriarchs of the faith, our forefathers, our foremothers of the faith. We learn and are introduced to the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Name, YHWH, Yahweh, or as the Hebrew Bible is read in a synagogue, Elohim Adonai, because the Holy Name is too sacred to say. In German, it has been translated and transliterated as Jehovah. For us, we hear Yahweh, YHWH. Mm-hmm. I have a book in my library that says YHWH is not a radio station in Minneapolis. I have to say a special thank you to my dad, the Reverend Olin Rex Lindemood, who said early and often to me, "The Bible's not a science book. It's not a manual for living. The Bible is a love story of God reaching to all of us every day." A love story of God reaching to us every day. I cherish those words. And so it is, we start into these five books of the Bible. Genesis, chapter 1. If you have a Bible and you're holding it, you might even want to open it to Genesis chapter 1. The very first words. And we hear them echo in our spirits. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. The section we read today ends with God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. It's beautiful Hebrew language poetry. It's even beautiful in English. And as we hear it, we hear the echo of how God is attending to the world from the very moment of the creation of light and dark, the heavens and the earth, the very essence of all that is God's. It's a beautiful story that awakens for us the majesty of God and our relationship to this God who created all things good. Like any story, there's a twist early in chapter 2. When God is establishing the creation of man and woman, the creation of Adam and Eve, the universal creatures at the very beginning, these humans that are responsible for all things on the planet. And as God created these human beings to live peacefully, contently, in harmony with creation, with each other, and especially with God as companions, these human creatures proved to be frail. And in the beauty of God's creation, they made mistakes. They were defiant. They chose to be disobedient. There was a tree in the center of the garden, the tree of life. It was forbidden to eat the fruit from that tree. Eve was tempted. And Eve tempted Adam. And together, they hold the responsibility of the first human beings that are just like us. Defiant. Sinful. Fallen. And the story begins as a God who loves us, wants to continue to reach to us even when we are defiant, disobedient, sinful, and not wanting to be even associated with God at times. God keeps reaching to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks be to God for that. And so the salvation story begins. And Genesis is loaded with many more stories. They're the stories of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel. And these stories and many other characters that do a dance with God as they are learning how to be faithful. In Genesis chapter 17, at the very beginning of chapter 17, we hear when Abram was 99 years old. 99, old enough to know better, wouldn't you think? 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face and said to, and God said to Abram, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. And thus a storyline is created as Abraham and Sarah are promised in old age to have children. We remember the echo of the story that when Sarah overheard this message that they would have children, she laughed. For Sarah was beyond the age of bearing children. We laugh too. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. So the love story goes. And as God continues to reach to us in our frailty and in our brokenness, in our limitations, God continues to offer the message. And we cling to these stories of the origins of our faith-filled walk with God. And that closes Genesis for this moment. And you know that it is so packed with so many stories. We could be here all day and all week, and I'd love to do that. But let's remember the story of this day is that the Bible, a library of books to teach us to live with God, loving us, hearing our stories. And then comes the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, we start to hear the story of Moses, who's the lawgiver. Remember in Exodus chapter 3, classic story, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, a priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. Moses looked, and the bush was ablaze, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God said to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the ground with which you are standing is holy ground." God said further, "I am the Lord your God, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. In that moment of the burning bush not being consumed, we hear the echo of a story that's familiar to us. We hear the story of Moses being called by God to begin to be the leader of a people that were enslaved in Egypt. These people who'd grown from the essence of Abraham and Sarah, a chosen people, the people of God. And we continue to hear the introduction of God to Moses, this love story. And in the verses that follow in the burning bush, the Lord continues to introduce himself to Moses by saying, "I'm the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'm also Yahweh. I am who I am. The great I am. The holiest name that we do not pronounce in the Hebrew tradition." Moses, the bringer, the introduction of this relationship we have with God. And Moses has this relationship with God such that the Lord begins to share the rules, the law. And thus the first five books being the law. And in Exodus, in chapter 20, you might turn there. There you'll hear familiar things. I'm going to edit a lot. But the Lord spoke these words to Moses. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female servant, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." 10. There's only 10 to start with. The rules of the family of God. And when we live in the family of God, we abide by the family rules. There's only 10. this love story, how it teaches us to live with God loving us. Exodus, there's 10. And then came Leviticus. Leviticus, the reason most people don't read the Bible from cover to cover. The reason that we get bogged down and don't understand and can't find the way and the path. Leviticus, a crazy, crazy book filled with priestly codes and covenants, the rules and rituals, these rules that are so minute that we have let go of so many of them because they're irrelevant in our modern day, rules and customs that are about sacrificial ways of worshiping. Instead, they become the foundation of something much greater, but yet we cling to the idea that there are rules in the family. Leviticus, if only those who had created, here's a vocabulary word for you, the canon, a biblical theological word that talks about the rule, the canon, the books that are determined to be in the Bible, the earliest canon of the Hebrew Scriptures, the first scroll included Leviticus. Had they only known how ludicrous so much of this is. And yet, it's part of that which informs us of the love story and how in salvation history, it's part of the tradition that helps us see the movement of God through time and the way in which we as human beings interacting with this love story become part of wanting to learn the rules of life and love. Leviticus. More than stories, just a bunch of stuff. Leviticus 1:1. The Lord summons Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any of you bring an offering of livestock to the Lord, you shall bring your offering from the herd or from the flock." This love story, it teaches us to live with God loving us. The stories, the rules of the family of God. The book of Numbers, it continues. Barb, you're welcome for not including the next few verses in... there you are. It could have been the nightmare of reading Scripture. If you're looking at your Bible, go to Numbers, chapter 1. Barb read for us the first four verses, and then comes what we all despise if we were asked to read the Bible in public, the list of names. And here in verse 5, these are the names of the men who shall assist you, from Reuben, Elzur, son of Shedeur, from Simeon, Shelemiel, son of Shedeshelai, and then from, and I'm going to edit the rest, because the 12 tribe names are the ones we need to hear. Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali. You're welcome, Barb. Okay. Here are the 12 tribes of Israel. We've heard about that. We know the story of the 12 tribes of Israel. Later in Israel history, we'll hear that they become regions, except for the Levites tribe. The Levi tribe is the tribe of priests. They didn't have land, but at one point in Israel's history, there were these counties, these regions, these areas that were named by the 12 tribes and regional leaders. And these 12 tribes are the foundation. They are the sons of Jacob. The sons of Jacob are the foundation of Israel and these 12 tribes that make it up. Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, Naphtali. The forerunner of 12 disciples. In our ancestral history, we don't always remember the names of everyone, but the 12 tribes of Israel are important in the story. Numbers continues to offer details of the emergence of these, the establishment of the 12 tribes of Israel, and how they ordered their lives as Moses offered the rules. As they made their way to a promised land, promised to Abraham and the ancestors. Then comes Deuteronomy, the final of the five books. The continual story of the people of Israel. They're called Jews. And the establishment of a promised land. You've heard me repeat often. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, if you're in your Bible, you find Deuteronomy. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The foundation phrases in the scriptures for Hebrew people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, the Lord God is one. We love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. A foundation point in the story of the faith, the rules of the family. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It was hard to figure out how to get through all that and to leave everything out. There's everything because it was all not included. First five books of the Bible. So what? This love story about God loving us and us living with a God who loves us. These are our stories as the family of God. These are our rules. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of attending a wedding of a young woman who used to babysit my children, and she was getting married, her second marriage. She was marrying a man who, together, Amanda has two boys that are middle schoolish, and her husband, the groom, has four boys. That would be six boys coming together in this family as they were uniting. Part of the ceremony was a moment when they had a plaque created for their family. And if we could show that image, the two youngest of the boys, representing both sides, were presenting our family rules. Now, I know you can't read it, but as part of this wedding ceremony where two become one and a whole new family is created, I'm using my smartphone because I can zoom in on this photograph. There are nine rules listed, and it's obvious that they had a family meeting to come up with these. It's important to remember that there were six boys involved, and they range from the age of 10 to 17. Did I mention there were seven or six boys? Seven, actually, because the father. Don't talk back to the parents. No fighting or hurting brothers. Don't go commando. Laugh out loud. Dance silly, always aim, agree on most things, fight for each other, put God first. and a family unites. I don't know what you are in your family of origin, but you know you have stories, and you know your family has rules. The first five books of the Bible are our faith family reminiscing about our shared stories of faith. They're our stories. Just like in my family, you've heard me time and time again talk about the family of five packing into a Volkswagen Bug and driving across the country to the East Coast. 6 days of wonder. It's nothing compared to the 40 days and 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness as the 12 tribes of Israel wandered in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses because, as his sister Miriam said, "Moses, why don't you just stop and ask for directions?" We hear the stories of our faith. We incorporate them and we hear that they were once enslaved in Egypt, and Pharaoh used them as slaves to build the structures of Egypt. And one day they found a leader in Moses who liberated from that, and they began this wilderness wandering. They remembered in their hearts the stories of Abraham and Sarah, how that story filled their spirits as there is a promised land for us. And we will make it to the land flowing with milk and honey. Those are our stories. And while we go, let's remember that our God gave us some rules. There's only 10. There's only 10, and we remember them so well. No other gods before me. Make no idols. And the moment we hear that, we remember that in the story, there's a moment where they take all the gold they have and they melt it down and they create a golden calf, an idol. The Lord weeps, is frustrated. "Moses, what have your people done?" And Moses says, "They're not my people, they're your people, God." They are we. And we continue to melt our gold into the things that we worship. And our family story is that these 10 rules are hard to abide by. And as we wander and bicker as the 12 tribes, we're saying along with them, "Well, their sins are worse than ours." There's only 10 rules to start with. Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. Don't murder, commit adultery, steal. Don't bear false witness. And don't covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, or male or female servants, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God, you didn't see my neighbor's new lawnmower. It's pretty cool. It's subtle, these rules that are our family rules. And here we are, the beneficiaries of a library of stories of us living with a God who loves us. When we break the rules, when we forget the stories, our God continues to come at us, loving us. I pray we've heard the words of the Lord today. Amen.